Welcome to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast, presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy, is part of a series of topics taking you, our listeners, from concept to construction and beyond. Many different levels of the Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting process.
Why is this podcast series worth your time? Well, from the moment an organization contemplates entering a performance contract, they're confronted with a slew of questions. In each podcast, we'll grab a topic and walk our listeners through important aspects to consider from both a public end user perspective and a private energy service company or ESCO perspective. Drawing upon our nearly 50 years of combined experience, we'll provide insights of both perspectives to the challenges and solutions typically found in the performance contracting process. I'm John Canfield, and I've been involved in the energy conservation and efficiency industry for over 35 years. Over the last 25 plus years, I've been directly involved in the performance contracting universe, initially as a co-founder of a private ESCO, but mostly as an independent third-party consultant, providing direct hands-on guidance to innumerable state and local governments.
And I'm Dale Haas. I joined the leadership team of an ESCO in 1998 and have been working with public sector folks supporting their performance contract program building ever since.
On this podcast, we'll focus on the early days of the performance contracting concept. There's a variety of stories of how this all got started. One of the earliest stories was documented in the book called Financing Energy Projects Desk Book by Albert Thurman and Fred Wainwright.
That's right, John. Thurman and Wainwright highlighted the first example of a performance contracting project dating from the 1970s, a hospital in Philadelphia. Thermal, a division of Royal Dutch Shell, introduced the concept, according to their records, of using third-party financing to improve energy efficiency and cut operating costs. These early energy financing agreements generally provided each party a share of the energy cost savings and became known as, well, shared savings. The concept initially worked well, but soon fell from favor. Influencing factors included a decrease in utility rates, which really raised the question of, were these reduced utility bills coming from, in fact, the achieved savings or the declining rates? The performance contracting industry survived by morphing from the shared savings idea to a new concept of extending a written guarantee of savings. This guarantee serves to protect the public sector financially if the savings are not achieved. And this business model just continues to evolve.
It certainly has evolved a lot since the introduction of the guarantee, but a couple of things have remained constant. It's all about trust and credibility, and that the savings will actually pay for the project. My observation of the industry from sitting in on hundreds of ESCO and owner interviews and the stories I've heard over the years, it was and still is about mutual trust and credibility, whether the parties will do what they say they'll do.
You know, John, I've witnessed the very same thing. Trust and credibility is a huge issue. Still, trust and credibility is a two-way street. For example, when an ESCO says what they're going to do and something goes wrong, they should say, look, we'll get it fixed. And if the guaranteed savings don't materialize, they'll cut a check for the difference and fix the problem. On the other hand, owners that hide or fail to share the challenges and complaints, concerns, and goals of a project are failing to collaborate in affecting the best possible outcome for their very own project. Many owners continue to operate and maintain their sites after construction is completed, but may not think through the impact of seemingly minor changes in day-to-day operations that may put their savings at risk. Working closely with and reporting those changes with your ESCO can avoid misunderstandings and potentially even disputes. So, John, how does the public sector gain trust and build confidence in this process?
Well, Dale, in my opinion, there are a myriad of ways. A few that I've seen work well include education, focused oversight, and peer-to-peer advice and recommendations. Together, they'll provide valuable insights for anyone considering a performance contract. Much of the public sector has heard of the general concept, usually from an ESCO, and for many it sounds too good to be true. It's the success of their peers that have used it that makes a difference. Talking to people about their experience and the process, as well as having focused oversight as you enter and navigate your way through a project, are key.
Well, I agree. Focused oversight can be a real key. This is a lot about asking the hard questions up front. And to do that, you have to make sure that you have experienced people at the table who know what questions to ask. From the owner's team, if you don't have outside oversight, you should include at a minimum the purchasing department, finance and budgeting, the legal department, facilities and maintenance. Sharing their perspectives and insights and getting answers to the questions they pose will help you ensure that all the I's get dotted and the T's get crossed. And if you don't include the relevant people in your organization, well, you simply increase the chances that something will go wrong.
State-administered performance contracting programs began to be developed in the early 1990s to provide this oversight and guidance to both owners and ESCOs. States with performance contracting programs continue to demonstrate the greatest successes even today. These programs address one of the long-standing challenges, the different levels of knowledge and experience between the owners and the ESCOs. ESCOs do this every day, but for most end users, it's the first time they've engaged in this process, and they're trying to figure out the details and what their risk might be. In addition to the state oversight programs, there are owner agents or expert third-party performance contracting consultants out there who can provide experienced guidance to ensure that all the parties have a clear understanding of the details, roles, responsibilities, and the impacts of each decision along the way. To reemphasize, we feel real keys to ensuring project success is to become familiar with the process, have all the right people at the table, and ongoing focused oversight throughout the entire process. That's how you build confidence and trust in the process.
John, I couldn't have said it better myself. And thank you for tuning into this podcast. This is just the beginning. Join us again and invite your friends. In each episode, we're going to take a deeper dive into one of the multiple phases of performance contracting with a goal to help you develop the trust and confidence to proceed down this path and to take advantage of the concept the way so many others have benefited from it in the past.
With each podcast, we'll walk you through a different phase or issue. From the shallow end to the deep end, we'll explore the typical phases of a project, including decision-making, ESCO solicitation and selection, the investment grade audit, construction, and the all-important measurement and verification phase. We'll delve into important aspects of each of these phases and provide insights from both a public end-user perspective and a private ESCO perspective.
Join us next time as we go beyond the beginning. GESPCU. See you next time.